It's good to have you all here today. I believe that God has a word for you this morning. A good word. Amen? A word that you can take out of here and spread it around. Amen. That'll work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we have here together as one body to hear your word and to hear from your spirit. Father, we thank you and give you glory for your word that we're going to hear, that it's for our lives, it's for today, it's for now, it's for us, to build us up so that we can go out and we can serve you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We said, amen. Amen. Well, I have a question for you. How many of you have ever drove around, cruised? Yeah? Have you ever been driving somewhere and you had to be there at that destination? Yes, you had to be there. I put it this way, you ever been driving somewhere and you need to get where you're going and then something gets in your way? Anybody ever been there before? Something just walks right in front, right in the street, and you're like, really? And blocks you from getting where you want to go. And I don't know about you, but I can remember some times that when I work at the high school, and sometimes I get home at like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I really, really want to get home. And then all of a sudden, a cat comes out in the middle of the road, or a dog comes out in the middle of the road, or a person comes out in the middle of the road and just sits there. Anybody ever been there before? Something like that? Right? It's dark out and there's animals in the way, and all I want to do is get home. It's super frustrating. And it just sits there. And it just is in your way. And then you want to go around it, right? But then there's cars parked on the side and you really can't move. And you don't want to run it over, but you're contemplating running it over, right? Been there before. You know, whatever it is, you know, and I'm talking about it, it's in your way. From where you are expecting to be, from where you're wanting to go, amen? And it can be a rabbit, it can be a javelina, a dog, cat, a person, whatever it is. It got in your way, and the road is so cluttered that you can't go around it, and it's frustrating you to the point that you're yelling at you're mad at the animal or whatever it is in front of you to get out the way. Some of us, I don't know me, sometimes I got out of my car one time and tried to shoo the thing off the road. It was just laying there. It was alive. It wouldn't move. If we've been there, you understand what I'm talking about, the frustration that happens because you just want to get home, or you're supposed to go to your job, or you're supposed to go to this birthday party or whatever it is that's happening, and this thing is in your way. I can remember in Ohio, there's some free-range cattle there sometimes, and sometimes the cattle gets in the middle of the road, and you'd have to wait. And you could try to run it over. I'm not sure it's going to go well for your car, but you could try. Or sometimes a deer gets in the middle of the road, and usually deer will run away, but sometimes a deer will just sit there and look at you, right? And if you want to get going, you either have to wait or you have to, you know, run through it. And so the situation presents itself in such a way that it gets in your way from what it is that you're wanting to do, from where it is you want to go. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, is that it's very frustrating when there's a roadblock. It's very frustrating when something hinders you or something distracts you from where you're wanting to go, from where you know you're supposed to go. And I want to talk a little bit about roadblocks, and maybe it's the walls that get built, or maybe it's whatever's in your way that day. I want to talk a little bit about things that Just get in the way. And I want us to turn to our Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. If you have your Bible, or electronic, whatever it is that you read, turn to Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to go through some scriptures talking about these walls that we build up or these roadblocks that get put in the way. Maybe we didn't put them up, but they just came in the way. And I want to talk a little bit about what it is we're supposed to be doing and what it is that we tend to let ourselves do when these blocks get in our way. And the first scripture I want to read is Matthew 20. I want to read verse 28. And I want to read it. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." And I want to couple that with a verse from John. So keep your finger there on Matthew 20 and go to John 14. John 14, chapter 12. I'm sorry. John chapter 12, verse 14. Then says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." And I paired these two scriptures because I want you to ask yourself, what is your purpose? Based upon these two scriptures, what is your purpose? In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done." If we stop there, then we go back to Matthew 20, 28. It says Jesus came to serve. So if we're here to do similar things as Jesus, then you're here to also serve and not be served. The scripture's telling you and I these things. I like how the scripture here in John 14 puts it. It says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Now, we can go on and on about what that means, but the same works. If we just stop at the same works, we know what Jesus has done. Amen? And here in Scripture, it says that you're going to do those same things. The first thing that we know Jesus did is he came to serve, not to be served. He didn't come to be king. He didn't come to be a physical king. He came to serve people. He came to give what he had to people who were in need of something. That's what he came. We were in need of salvation. We were in need of grace and all these things, and he came and gave us that. Amen? And so he served. He gave to manifest and to show the power of God to the masses and to the people. Amen. No matter what kind of person you were, the scriptures tell us, he gave of himself. He gave everything of himself to give what? To give what he had to those who did not have. Amen. And I wanted to start there, and I want to, as I talk a little bit, I wanted to go to Jeremiah. And I bring this up because I want to talk about these roadblocks. These roadblocks are things that get in the way of where you want to go. And so if we're here to serve, what is stopping you from serving? What's the roadblock in your way stopping you from doing what Jesus did in serving? What is stopping me from doing more? And not for myself, and not for yourselves, but what am I doing for others? And what are you doing for others? Because Jesus didn't come to serve himself, he came to serve other people. And when Jesus talks about in John 14, 12, that we're going to do the same things as Jesus and greater, then that means I need to look outside of myself and not serve myself, but serve other people. And the same goes for you and us believers, that we serve other people. That's why we have Christ in us and the power of God in us, so we can serve other people just as Jesus gave out to others. Amen? So I want to talk a little bit about Jeremiah here. I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to read a few scriptures. I'm going to read from 4 through 14, and then we're going to add on 17 through 19. And it says here in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "The Lord gave me this message," Jeremiah talking. He says, "I knew before I formed you in your mother's womb, Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. In verse 6, it says, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. I want to stop right there. And this is a roadblock that Jeremiah had put up. He said, I'm too young. I can't do this, Lord, for you because I'm too young. That was his roadblock, you see? He was stopping himself from doing what the Lord had told him to do because he thought he was too young. So I'm asking you through this morning, ask yourselves, what's my roadblock that's stopping me from doing what God called me to do? Or from serving and trying to find out what God called me to do? Sometimes the only way you know if you're good at something is to just try it and do it. Amen? If we keep reading on, it says in verse 7, the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Verse 9, and the Lord reached his out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, and others you must build up and plant. Verse 11 then says, then the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from the almond tree. Verse 12, and the Lord said, that's right. It means that I'm watching, and I will certainly carry out all my plans. Verse 13 says, and the Lord spoke to me again and asked, what do you see now? And I replied, I see a pot of boiling water spilling from the north. And verse 14 says, yes, the Lord said, for terror from the north will boil out on the people of this land. And I read that because God knew Jeremiah before he was born. He says that he knows us before we're born. He says that he knows you before you're born. He plans out the path for you before you're born, in your mother's womb. Long before you were born, long before you were conceived, he thought about you and planned for you. When you feel discouraged, as Jeremiah did, reread this scripture, because what did God say to Jeremiah? He said, when you feel discouraged, don't say that. God said, remember, I'm always with you. And I'm always thinking of you. And I made you because I believe that you're valuable. That's what he told Jeremiah, and that's what he's telling us today. Is that don't say you can't do something because I made you to do something. Amen? Jeremiah was appointed by God as his prophet. God had his purpose, and he has his purpose for you. He appointed you for a specific kind of work. Think of Samson. Think of David, John the Baptist, Paul. We're all called to specific jobs. Specific jobs. And there were people around them that did other jobs, but their job was a specific job. Same as you. God made you for a specific thing and put you around other people to help build that specific thing. Amen? That's what the church is for. We're here to build up and send out. Build up and send out. Encourage, build your gift. That's why church is very important, to be built up so you can use and utilize the gift that God has given to you. Amen. Whatever you do, Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, whatever you do says what? Whatever you do it what? With all you have unto the Lord. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it says. You do it all with all you got, and do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, the idea that Jeremiah was too young was his roadblock. The idea, the thought that Jeremiah was too young to do what God called him to do created that roadblock for him to do what God had called him to do. He told God, I can't speak for you, I'm too young. Jeremiah, like most of us, entertained that thought, which means we think about that thought, I'm too young. You know, everybody's going to say I'm too young. Everybody's going to say, you know, I can't speak well, Moses. right? I can't do it. I'm not from that land. I'm not from there. I'm not supposed to be doing this stuff. I don't think I can do it. All these roadblocks that we put, and sometimes you might call those roadblocks excuses. But nonetheless, Jeremiah here, and most of us in certain things, know what we're called to do. We just create these roadblocks to not do them. And we listen to those roadblocks. Instead of doing what the Arizona Department of Transportation says to do and not slow down, and too bad, and I got to keep going, and to not swerve, right? I read about this the other day. The Arizona Department of Transportation says you're not supposed to slow down, that if it's in your way, you just got to keep going. You're just supposed to keep going. And whatever happens, happens. Right? But when you think about it in a spiritual sense, if there's a roadblock in there to stop you, if you run over it, guess what? No more roadblock. Right? If you tear that roadblock down, no more blocking you and doing what God asked you or purposed you to do. And think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah went on to do great things and be a mighty prophet of God. But what if he entertained that thought that he was too young? We wouldn't have those things that Jeremiah talked about. Or Jeremiah wouldn't have fulfilled what God had called him to do. God may have used somebody else, you see. But God purposed you for a reason. Don't let that roadblock get in your way. So then what is getting in your way? What is getting in my way? Think about that for a second. Write it down. What's getting in your way of doing what God asked you to do? I'm sure there are a lot of things that we could think of. What's getting in your way? What is stopping you from doing what God asked you to do and purposed you to do before you were born? It's a kind of a deep question. God is asking us, hey, what's the problem here? What's in your way from doing what I want you to do? What's stopping you? Well, you are. I think your own mind is stopping you from doing what God asked you to do, what God purposed you to do. First, it's your mind, and then I think we create these walls that we put up. I can't do this because I'm too young, but you know what? These people then do this. Now you're building more roadblocks. And, well, what if I go this way? Well, you just put another stop sign there, you know? And there's a lot of things. I think we make excuses for not following God's purpose. And I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just trying to be real that I think we make excuses for what we already know we're supposed to do. I know I have. And I know in some instances, I think I still do. I don't think I'm alone in that. You know, are you saying some of these? I wrote some things down. You know, do you think it's too demanding for you? Yeah, it could be a rut. It's too demanding. I'm so busy. And that might be true. You might be fairly busy. Too busy to not watch TV for half an hour and do something that God had told you to do. Too busy to not be on Facebook for an hour and a half. You know, too busy. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. Too busy reading the one novel that you really love, but you probably shouldn't be reading. I don't know what it is. You all know what your roadblocks are. For me, it's like watching documentaries. I love watching documentaries. I love just learning things, especially history stuff. I could sit there and do it for hours and just waste time. Right? But is it helping my call from God? No, it's not. It's delaying that. So I have to purpose myself not to do that. I believe that you have to find out what your roadblocks are and get them out of the way and run them over. Amen? So are you saying it's too demanding? Maybe. Are you saying that your talent or what God gave you is inadequate? You say, well, the timing is just not right. It could be, but it could be that you just don't want to do it. I've had that before. The timing was right. I just really didn't want to do it. And then you missed it, and you're like, oh, I should have did it. Right? I mean, has it been there? Right? Or, you know, for some, maybe preachers and pastors and ministers have this, the teaching is too dangerous. You're going to offend people. If it's the truth, then it should be said. Amen? If it's the truth, then it needs to be out there. All right? We can't water down the word. The word is the word is the word is the word. Do I have to do it now? Does it have to be done now? Do I need to go now? I'd like to sit around for a while and just bake and just soak, right? Are you serving, but serving in an area that really is unhealthy for you? Everything just makes you so frustrated and you have those heart palpitations and you're like, oh, sweating all the time because you're doing something that God didn't tell you to do. And you know what you're supposed to be doing. You're just not doing that. You're doing this because maybe this is easier, but it's creating problems. You see? Find a different way to serve. The question you might ask yourself, and where is your motivation to serve like Jesus? Where is it coming from? What's your motivation? Is it motivating because you want people to see who you are? Are you motivated by fame that might happen? People might know you because you do these certain things? Or are you motivated out of the love of Christ for the love of people? I don't know. These are just some things that I was thinking about as I was praying about what to say today. Maybe you need to change your motivation. Maybe I need to change my motivation. These are some things that could be blocking your way to doing what God had called you to do and called you to serve. Remember the first two scriptures. Jesus came to serve and not be served. And then John 14 says, you're here to do the same things Jesus did and even greater. So if Jesus served, then we are to serve others. Amen? I think that's overlooked sometimes. We say if you can, you should. But we know that we should. Because that's what Jesus did. And if we're to be like Jesus, then we serve other people. Amen? If you have your word, let's go to Ephesians. Are you with me? I feel that, I believe that God wanted me to stir the pot a little bit in you. Wanted me to stir the pot a little bit, bring up some of this stuff that maybe we tend to push down and suppress, but he wants me to stir it up a little bit. Not in an attacking way, but in a way that you need to think about it. Think about it. Stir it up. Think about what's going on in your life and what's happening. What are you really doing? And it's stirring me. It's stirring in me. So you're not alone, and I'm not alone, hopefully. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read two verses here. I want to read verse 11 and 12. In verse 11, it says this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, if we talk about the church as being the body of Christ, this is what Christ gave to the body of Christ. Not necessarily to this building, but to the body of Christ. You follow me? So we have what? We have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have pastors, we have teachers. And in verse 12, then it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do nothing. It doesn't say that. It says to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, if God has given you a gift, and he has, then our responsibility then is to build you up in that gift, to give you opportunities to serve and do things. And let me tell you what, there's opportunities to serve in this church. If that's stirring your heart and mind, when you need to get involved. You are to be equipped and given the tools to do what God has given you to do. Amen? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. Now, some of us might say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 says that he's equipped you. It says that may he equip you with all you need for doing your will. It says doing his will. Doing his will. All right. May he equip you. That's a nice prayer. May he equip me. May he equip you with all that you need in order to do his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that pleasing to him and all glory for him forever. And all glory to him forever. May he produce in you through the power of Christ. Christ in you. May he produce in you the power of Christ so that you can do, so that you can serve God in all things that he needs you to do. Amen? And all glory to him forever and not glory to you. That's what I'm talking about, motivation. Where's your motivation? All glory to the Father. Amen? You are to be equipped and given the tools to go out and serve, whether it be in this particular church or out there serving people. Amen? As Jesus served the people, as Jesus gave of himself to the people. Amen? The importance of coming to church is to be equipped. The importance of coming here on Sundays and coming on Wednesdays is to equip yourselves with the tools that you need to serve. The importance of church is so you come and we fellowship. And the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so it is with us. We sharpen each other. Fellowship with each other sharpens the sword. So we can go out and serve people and give people what we have. Amen? But first we have to be built up and given the tools. And here at this church, we give you tools day in and day out how to live a life as a follower of Christ. Amen? So you can go out and you can serve the people just as Jesus served the people. Amen? Encouraging those who don't see their gift and encouraging them to see it and to walk in it and to serve others with their gift. To serve, as Scripture tells us, is to gift of yourself. To serve others is to gift of yourself. Serving is not so you serve to get paid. To serve is so you give this person something that you have so they can have it, what you have. And now that multiplies, you know, that goes out and multiplies. What I give her, she can give out, and they can give further, right? What we teach you here about the Scripture, if you're learning the Scripture as we go and how to live, look how many people we have, and you go out and you serve the people, look how far that goes. Building the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 2. If I can get there. Are you with me? Yes. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 13. For God is working with you. And he's working in you. Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. To serve is to serve God, and to serve is to give of yourself what God has given you. Amen? If you're a teacher, if God has given you the skills to be teacher, which means this, you can easily translate something to something else so people can understand. So they can understand and do, right? That's basically what a teacher does. takes some complex ideas and complex thought, makes it real simple so you can understand, and then you can reciprocate. Amen? If that's in you, then do what you are given. Teach. Teach the Word of God. Teach people how to do things so they can reciprocate. Amen? If it's other things, reciprocate that. Right? It's a fairly simple thing if you just look inside yourself and say, yes, what has God given me to do? And just walk in that. Because then you're going to get the blessings that God has provided for your life if you walk in what He wants you to do. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read a couple scriptures here. I'm going to read 6 through 11 and then verse 27. So it says here, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. It's not a different God that works in Calvin or Nina or anybody else. It's the same God. It's just providing different things. It keeps going then in verse 7 it says that a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Each of us has a spiritual gift. And so we can help each other. You know, I look up at the word serve in the dictionary, and under synonym it says help. So another way to serve is to help. So when we look at this, it says a spiritual gift has been given to us so we can serve each other. Amen. So we can serve each other. If we keep going, it says, verse 8, to one person the Spirit that gives the ability to give wise advice. How many of us need wise advice? How many of you need wise advice? Somebody in this church has the gift to give wise advice. Therefore, you should walk in it and let it be known that if you need advice, wise counsel, this is the person you may want to talk to. Verse 8, or verse 9, it says, the same Spirit gives faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Verse 10, He gives one person the power to perform miracles and the other the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. In verse 11, it says, it is one and one only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So we all in here have a special gift, a spiritual gift, that should be utilized to build up those around us. Amen? In verse 27 then, it says, all of you together. Amen? All of us what? Separately? All of us together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part. Each of us is a part of it. So each of us together with our gifts given from God, gifts given from the Holy Spirit, are to work together to help build each other up in such a way that we can then spread and serve people in our community, in our state, in our world to help benefit people and to help change their lives and to bring them to the salvation that we know to be so true and so good. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from the great variety of spiritual gifts. I want you to say to yourself right now, I have a gift. Say, I have a spiritual gift. And then it says this in the second half of verse 10, it says, use them well to serve one another. You have a spiritual gift that God has given to you, and it's supposed to be used to serve one another. So then let's go back. What is stopping you from serving with your spiritual gift? What is that roadblock that's in your way stopping you from serving and bettering the people that are around you? What is that roadblock? Maybe we should run it over. Maybe we should get it out of the way and start serving and living as God intended you to be, as God intended us to be, powerful, with power, encouraging and building up other people. Amen? Our abilities should be faithfully used in serving other people and not for our own enjoyment. We're here to serve. We talked about it from the beginning. Jesus came to serve and not be served. And we're supposed to be doing the same things he did. So we are here to serve and be served, or not serve and not be served. Amen? Some people are well aware of your abilities and some people don't. No. I have my own thoughts about that and beliefs about that. I think we all know what we're here for. I think we just put those roadblocks up so we don't have to do it. I believe that if you have a hard time, that if you wholeheartedly search God and ask God, he'll tell you. He will reveal it to you. He'll give you revelation on what it is and how to use it. Amen? Everybody has some gift. Find yours and use it. Find yours and use it. Ask God. What does Jesus say? Ask and you shall ask. But ask with the intent to use. Don't just ask with the intent to know and then not use it. Ask with the intent to actually do what God has called you to do. With the right heart. With the right motivation. God then will be glorified. Amen? Right? It says that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So that everybody will praise your heavenly Father, not praise Mitch. But so everybody will praise the heavenly Father. It says, let your good deeds shine. Let them shine. Let people see, but let them see that you're giving glory to God and not glory to me. Amen? God will be glorified. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It says that, and we now, verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good. Amen? For good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. How many of us are called according to his purpose? All believers are called according to his purpose. And all believers have a gift that's been given to you by the Spirit of God to do something for his kingdom. And we're all supposed to do that good so that it can shine to reveal the glory of God to other people. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. To serve other people with the gifts that God has given you so that God can be glorified. So what is your roadblock stopping you from giving God glory? With the gift that he has given you. What is that roadblock? We have to find it, and we have to get rid of it. We need to run it over. We need to stomp on it. You need to whatever. You need to get rid of that roadblock and start serving God in the way that God had called you to serve him. Amen? Let's go to chapter 11. And I want to read verse 36. Verse 36 says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. All these gifts that we have and all the gifts that you have are not for your glory. They're for his glory. They're to expand the kingdom of God for his glory. You need to live in that gift, people. That gift was given to you for a purpose. Run with it. Do it. Go with it. Serve people with it. Do God's will with it. And you're going to see, God says, you're going to see the blessings that come back on you. And that's not necessarily the motivation. The motivation is to love people. Just love people with the gift that God has given you. And in turn, God says, I'll bless you when you do that. When you serve me by serving others, when you do that with your gift that I was given to you, you're going to reap the benefits. Whether it be spiritual in eternity or whether it be now here physically. You're going to reap the benefits when we serve God and give him the glory with the gifts that he has given you. Amen? I heard somewhere, somebody had told me one time, I forget the pastor that told me, but said that a mature follower of Christ stops asking the questions, what is going to meet my need? And starts asking the question, whose need can I meet? That's where we need to be. We need to be in that place to say, who can I help today? Who can I serve today? What is my gifting going to do, and how can I help the people that I can help? Amen? Instead of always asking, what can I get out today? What can I do for me today? What can my thing be today? What is in it for me? Coming to church, I think, is good to be fed, but it also, I think, is necessary to take what you've fed and give it out. Amen? I think when we talk about service for believers, it's not something to be tacked on to our schedule if we can spare the time. I think it's at the heart of a Christian life. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to give. And those two, to serve and to give, should come together. You serve by giving. Giving of what? Giving of yourself. Because Jesus gave of himself. He gave what he had. You look at Peter and John when they're at the temple. Silver and gold I have none, but I'll give you what I do have. Bam. A blind man saw. Or a lame man walked. Give what you have. If you have Jesus, give Jesus. You have a gift, give your gift. Serving and giving up. I read a quote about from Mother Teresa. I don't know if you know who Mother Teresa is. Yeah. I thought it was really good. It said, holy living consists in doing God's work with a smile. Serve because you love. Right? What's the commandment that Jesus gave us? Love God with our heart and who and what else? Love neighbor as yourself. Serve out of love. Serve with a smile because that's what God wants us to do. Jesus taught that spiritual maturity is never an end, but it's this. We grow up to go out. We grow up in order to give out. The more we grow in our spirit, the more we get closer to God, the more we're going to understand that we are to give out of ourselves. Give out of yourself. It's not enough to keep learning and keep learning and keep learning and keep learning. We must act on what we have. We must act. There was an artist that uses clay that said something. It says, impression without expression causes depression. When you impress on something but you don't give an expression outward for it, then all you're doing is holding it in. And when you hold it in, you're causing yourself, what'd you make it for? What'd you do it for? What'd you learn it for? What'd you do it for? Just because to learn it? Well, now you know everything, but you're not doing nothing with it. Impression without expression causes depression. There's also another one. There's a comparison with the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The comparison is this. The Sea of Galilee is full of life because it takes water in and it gives water out. The Dead Sea, all it does is take it in and it doesn't give it out. The sea has become stagnated. So there's nothing flowing out. Where are we? Where are we? Are we just taking things in like the Dead Sea? And just taking it in and boom, boom, I'm taking it all in. I'm taking it all in. But then, shouldn't we be like the Sea of Galilee? Taking it in, flowing it out. Amen? Taking it in, flowing it out. For some people, and if this is you, then take it for what it is. If it's not, then okay. Some people don't need to go to another Bible study. Some people don't need to go to another Bible study because they know it. They just need to live it. Amen? If that's you and you're taking it all in, that's great. But if you know it, now live it. If you're not living it, then I implore you to live it, because God had said, you know, Jesus just came to serve, so serve people. Amen? It's not enough just to take it in, but we got to give it out. We have to serve. Most of the time, we're more interested as human beings in being served than to serve. Well, Romans 12:2 tells us to transform our mind. So if our mind is already set to be served, if we transform our mind, then we're going to serve. You follow me? Amen? Amen. In serving, we cannot let these things that we talked about stop us from doing what God wants you to do. I'm telling you, God is telling you through our word, you need to serve. Serve Him and serve other people. Serve the people around us. Find with your gift, you need to do your gift. Roadblocks slow you down. Roadblocks stop you. It never should. It never should make you stop. It never should make you think twice. You just run it over. If you know you're supposed to go to Bisbee and there's a roadblock in there, you better just go. Right? I was going to use a not so good analogy, but I don't think I'm going to use it. Sometimes I'm going to use it. It's a little graphic. Anybody ever had to use the restroom really bad? Nothing stops you from getting to that restroom. Right? Why can't we live our spiritual life like that? You know what I mean? I mean, come on. Nothing stops you from getting where God has told you to go. Nothing should stop you from getting from where you're at. Oh, no, I'm too young. Oh, no. No. God told you, so do it. Or, I don't know. God told me to be, to hold this thing and to do this stuff. But I don't know. You know, it's too hard. It takes too much time. And I don't really have enough time. I already have 3 kids. I already have this and that and the other thing. Blah, 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 blah. Well, God told you to do it. Well, do it. Don't let any excuse or any roadblock get in your way from doing what God told you to do. In serving, we can't let all these things. The devil's going to throw his distractions at you. He's going to. But the cool thing is that in reading some of this stuff and preparing what God had given me, I'm thinking that, you know, the devil's trying to put these little road bumps in there, and he's trying to make you feel real small so they look real big, right? But God is telling you, hey, stand up. Stand up. And when you stand up, all of a sudden those roadblocks look like this. And all we have to do is do this. Amen? That's all we got to do. See, the devil tries to make you feel like you're inadequate, right? I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm shrinking. I'm so small. And then he puts up these little blocks, and they seem so big. But when God lifts you up, they're real small. And all you have to do is walk over it. Amen? In the path that God has set for your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. I have an encouraging challenge for you this morning. My encouraging challenge is to don't just sit on the sidelines. Be a part of the game. Which means be a part of the solution, right? You see problems in our community, you see problems in anywhere, Don't just sit on the sidelines and be like, oh, they need this, or oh, we need to do this. If you have a gift for something, use it to get in the game. Use it as a way to serve. Be a part of the solution. Get up and go out and do. Amen? Amen. I want to read the scripture that we already went over again, John 14:12. I just want us to read it again. I'm gonna hover on it for a minute or two, if we can. Because I want us to understand, I want us to get this. I want us to get this. Matthew 20:28 says that Jesus came to serve and be served. John 14:12 says we're gonna do the same things Jesus did. I think we need to start to understand that a little bit more. There's opportunities to serve. I'm just not saying in this church. There are opportunities in this church to serve. So if you're currently not doing nothing, and God knows that, and you know God has a gift for you, we might have a spot for you to serve. Because there are needs. If you're in a family, and you're currently not serving the family the way God told you to do it, then do it. Amen? If at your work, and you have skills, whatever it is that God gave to you, I encourage you, just as Jesus did, he came down and gave what he had and served. Just like that, God has given you something to be here, to use that something to serve. Let's serve, and let's give glory to God. Amen? The last thought I want to give you is this. And we believers who are in Christ, the focus of our lives should be increasing to living a life of service. So the last thought I want to leave you is this. Is in your thinking, the mature follower of Jesus stops asking who's going to meet my need and starts asking whose need I can meet. Whose need can you meet today? Let's stand and pray. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word you've given to us. We thank you for the encouragement that your word gives us to do the will of you in our lives. Father, we know that you have given us all a gift, and we know that you have given the gift that we can utilize to serve other people, to give it out in the way that you designed it to be before we came out of our mother's womb. Thank you, God, that your word states that we grow in order to give, that we I want you all right now, if you don't know the gift that God has given to you, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to search God. I want to search for God. I want you to knock on that door. I want you to open the door and I want you to ask right now, God, tell me what is my gift. And if you know your gift, I want you to do the same thing, but ask God, how more can I utilize my gift? And I want you all individually to go with that. Let's spend some time talking to God about your gift, about what it is that God has given to you. Oh, Lord, show me. Show me my gifting. Speak to me about what special gifts you have given to me. Father, I pray in the Holy Spirit that you show those gifts to these people. That they're what they're supposed to be doing with the gift that you've given to them. Father, reveal to them. Reveal to us now the way we can utilize our gift in serving and giving glory to you. Yes, Lord, Holy Spirit, flow through this place and show us our gifting. Thank you, Jesus. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord, the gift that you've given to us. And show us, Lord, what to do with that. The path that you want us to go. Give us a clear path. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, show us our gift to serve you. Show us our gift to serve others. And show us our gift so we can manifest the power. Father God, for those of us, those here who know their gifting, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit speak to them now in a deeper revelation of their ability in that gift. And a deeper path to go and lives to touch in serving those outside, in serving those people. Start saying thank you, Jesus, for my gift. Just start thanking. Thank him for your gift. Thank him for your job. Thank him for ways to serve. Thank him for the God ideas that he's putting into your mind right now about how you can serve him to the best of your ability. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's plan for your life is a powerful plan. He knows what he's doing. He has given you a gift to fulfill that calling in your life. And he's put you here in this position for such a time as this. To utilize that gifting. Don't sit on the sidelines. Be a part of the game. Get in the game. Get in the game. Get in the game. Utilize your gift. Utilize what God has given to you. Be a doer. Be a doer. Be a doer. Amen? Amen. Well, I encourage you to go out this week and be a doer. Do what God has called you to do in your life. Thank you for coming to Faith Ministries Church today. Remember that we have a Vacation Bible School meeting right now in the Sunshine Room. So if God is calling you to utilize your gift in Vacation Bible School, please stay and go to that meeting. God bless you. Have a blessed week, have a blessed day. Hallelujah.